Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, we have a pretty extraordinary tale for you now. South Korea came to a standstill last week. Thousands of school-leaving students took this test called the College Scholastic Ability Test, known as Sunyong. It's an eight-hour exam. It's known for its difficulty and the life-changing implications that it has for the students' futures. But during the exam, planes can't take off or land. Construction sites are stopped. Cars and trucks discouraged from using their horns. But this year, those everyday sounds weren't the ones that students were worried about. Instead, they were said to be scared of this pop song.
It's whatever you like. Turn this appetite into a club. I'm talking drink, dance, smoke, freak, party all night. Come on. Gumbay, go, what's up?
I can see our producer cringing. I love this song already. It's the smash K-pop global hit Appetue by Rosé and Bruno Mars. And it left the exam students, going back to them, worried about the fate of their academic lives because they feared that that song would get stuck in their heads and distract them from their exams. Some went so far as to ban the songs from their playlists altogether ahead of their life-changing exam. Well, it's definitely catchy. It's climbing the charts here. It has 500 million plays on YouTube in a month. So we wanted to find out what is it that makes that earworm so infectious and such a concern to South Korean students. So who better to take us through all of that is Simon Marr from 8radio.com. Simon, you're so welcome.
I don't think people are going to thank us for this at the end, but this will be good fun. You were saying about how much you like that first song. And as I was listening through all of our earworms that we're going to talk about now, one of the things that emerged was that you don't even have to like it for it to work as an earworm.
Yes.
Once it's in there, doesn't matter. So it happens though that this is a great pop song.
Well, I like it because it reminds me of a good 80s pop song. Like, it's back to the simplicity of that.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
All it's trying to do is catch you and not let you go.
And it does that. And it really, really does that. It hooks it in very well. In fairness, the people involved are all really good at this. All the people involved in the production of K-pop, it's almost the equivalent of all those Swedish songwriting factories that we had in the 90s and the 2000s here as well. It just so happens that it is their time. And then when you tie it in with the whole almost computer game visuals of it all, and even when you watch that, when you're one of the 500 million people who've watched the videos, you'll see it's all done in a very computer game style. It has everything that you could need for an earworm.
And these concerns amongst the students, they're real, are they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, they're to the point where some people, I went down a rabbit hole on a lot of this stuff over the weekend. And there were conspiracy theories about that this was other, bad actors and foreign powers who were trying to distract people from becoming successful. And you do it by planting an earworm.
Gosh, it's extraordinary. So what is an earworm? What's the secret sauce? How does it work?
Look, there's simple things. Repetition. There has to be plenty of repetition that goes on in it. It has to have a catchy melody, as plainly witnessed by that one. A very predictable rhythm. So something that people will absolutely know. And then maybe, if you want to stick something in, is that something that's out of the zone of the song regularly, but is a nice thing that splashes in. You know, so it's something in a chorus.
So you're waiting for the thing.
Whatever that thing might be. Whether it's Apatu or whether it's Gangnam Style or whatever it is, that there's a thing that's there for you and that it pays off. It has got to pay off every time, and it's got to pay off multiple times.
Okay, so emotional connection is another thing as well. I'm not sure about the lyrics in that song. I didn't really listen to the lyrics.
I'm not 100% sure that the lyrics matter all that much. The only thing that matters in terms of the lyrics is there has to be a rhyme. There has to be some level of rhyme. So we're back to our repetition and our rhythm as well. It has to be something that you can sing along to. And I'm not sure that it makes a lick of difference whether it's making any sense or not. It's just, as long as it's a nice rhyme that I can sing and I can remember, Robert, then I'm happy.
Now, I listened to that song very early this morning in here in the office, and it was in my head, and I was thinking, I have really serious things to do on this programme at 10 o'clock and from 10 o'clock and onwards into the next 2 hours, and I need to get rid of this thing that's in my head, this song.
Yes.
So what would you have told me? What advice would you have given
me? I did a lot of research on this, and I decided I'm going to try out all of the things. And the first thing that they tried, and apparently this was recommended to the South Korean kids, was chew gum. Right,
because what?
Yeah, apparently your brain, once your brain is focused on chewing gum, and by the time it's focused on chewing gum and doing an 8-hour exam, you will forget about it because your brain is analog. And
did
only
you
just
try,
one
did you
thing
try that
time.
Out?
I tried it; it had zero effect. Well, I fell over because I was trying to sing and chew gum at the same time. Other things, though, that I found did work. One was that you play a song to the very end, and maybe you play the song two or three times because our brain needs to finish every loop that it gets.
So the earworm song, you play it?
Yes, so you play it, but you play it a number of times. So maybe play it five times in a row and then it's there, but then your brain goes, okay, that's something I now have and I can store this and I can move on. But the one that I found most effective was the putting on a song that's entirely different after it. So you do the play the song, you go, okay, fair enough, I'm in a reasonable state now with this. Now I'm going to play a song that's utterly different, may not have any of those rhythmic things in common. It might be like an 8-minute Yes or a Pink Floyd track, and then that it washes your brain clean,
right?
And then you can move on from there. The only thing I discovered was that works really, really well. And I woke up this morning and I didn't have any of these things in my head, which I had all weekend. But the minute that you listen to it, so as I'm talking and looking at you
I cannot get it out of my head.
My brain is
you're
going
talking to me.
Yes,
I know you're talking. Yeah, and I know you're saying sensible things, but all I can hear is Bruno Mars and
absolutely.
Rosé in my head.
But it's the same. It's
okay,
the same.
Well, that's so good. We're on the same level.
Yeah.
Then.
So that's how it works. So apparently you have to do this every time, you know, and it will stay there until it eventually your brain will decide at some point that it's going to wash its way through.
Because my children sometimes come to me and say, I can't get this song out of my head, and my advice to them is sing it out really loudly as far as they can, as many words as they have in their heads, say it and sing it.
That's
really
good
loudly.
Advice. No, that is good
is
advice.
Is it? I'm basing that on nothing.
Oh, no, but it is good advice. But just get them to do it a number of times. And if they do it a number of times, apparently the more times that you do it and complete it, the more your brain goes, that's fine, I can move on with this.
And people are more likely to experience earworms if they are musicians themselves.
Absolutely, yes. Because they're spending their life thinking about rhythm and melody and rhyme and all of that sort of stuff. So anybody who lives in that world, whether it's, you know, the written word, whether it's music, any of those things, they're all stuck in their head all of the time because they're trying to come up with rhythms. And then they're also always trying to rule out rhythms because they say, I've got the perfect line, I've got the perfect chorus, but I know I've heard that before.
Listen, we're going to try and get rid of aperture out of people's minds and our own minds now. Let's have a listen to another earworm. That's sort of the perfect earworm. That's big in our house as well.
Yeah, rightly so. But again, it's a great pop song. You know, and Chapel Rowan is a great pop star. And she wanted to build something around YMCA. So she wanted something that when she went...
Oh, right, she said that was deliberate,
wasn't
it? Oh,
yeah, absolutely. She said when she went, she wanted to be able to, when she was at her gigs and playing live, that everybody would be able to do the shapes and all of that sort of carry on and the dance that goes along with it. And she did it perfectly.
She certainly did. Yeah. She certainly did.
And it's not even that annoying, which is great. Some of them are awful and annoying, but that one actually, you know, is good.
I'm glad you said that, because this one is really annoying.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Op, 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 op. Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Op, 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 op. Open Gangnam Style.
I tell you why that's particularly annoying for me, because ours were babies at the time when that came out more than 10 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
Someone bought a plastic toy of Psy, and when you switched him on, he sang the
Gangnam
chorus
style.
Bit and he moved his arm. And the babies had him on the floor all the time, switched on, so he was wandering around with that on repeat. So I'm completely allergic
I can understand that. That was the first video, the first music video that hit a billion views. But remember, when you think at the time, it hit a billion views over a period of about a year. You know, when we started off, we were talking about a video that hit half a billion
views.
This
new earworm.
Yeah. In a couple of weeks. So no, that was huge, but it's got the payoff. It doesn't make a lick of sense, and nobody cares that it doesn't make a lick of sense, but it has that repetitive, and then payoff. And that's what people are looking for in this.
Living in your head, rent free.
Yes.
But the person who had to move over it in many people's heads was Rick Astley, a classic earworm from the 80s. The difference is everybody loves Rick Astley, don't they?
they do, but it's Stockcake and Waterman, as we talked about before. Yeah. Stockcake and Waterman have a habit and a skill of being
able
to do
this. Oh, they have the knack, yeah.
Yeah, and they've done it really, really well. But you'll hear all of the little loops are very, very consistent all the way through. And when you think that it spanned generations, because when Rick Rowling and all of that stuff came back in, entire new generations of people did it.
Because Rick Rowling is sort of like earworming somebody,
isn't
it?
Oh, it is. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So no matter what they were expecting, no matter what they want to listen to, they were going to get Rick Astley in this.
Yeah.
But it only works because the song works as an earworm.
Another element to this is the dance that goes with it.
Yes.
So we spoke about Chapel Roan's Hot to Go, and this one I think fits into that category.
Now don't you worry about my boyfriend, the boy whose name is Vitorino. I don't want him, couldn't stand him, he was no good, so I...
Now, come on, what was I supposed to do? He was out of town, and his two friends were so...
Oh, nails on a blackboard. I don't know what that does to me.
It's one of the worst. It really is one of the worst. But it was a phenomenon in itself in that it took off. It took off not because necessarily of the song or even because the earworm element, but because there was
the
something
dance.
That you could repeat. Exactly.
Am I doing it right?
God knows.
Arms out to the side, back in, yeah.
But that's why that one worked, and it worked really well, and it became a sort of a cultural phenomenon because it was identified with holidays and summer and all of the bits that go along with it, but it's awful. It's really, really awful.
Right.
Yeah.
So the good beat, the rhythm, that's another important characteristic, as we've mentioned, but I'm really surprised that you've included this in our earworm category.
Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, you're gonna take on the world someday, you got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
Officially an earworm too,
isn't
it?
Absolutely. The University of St Andrews have named this as the number one earworm in terms of when they scientifically analysed every song that people were trying to get out of their heads.
Sneaky old queen writing to formulas.
But they knew how to do it. We're the Champions, Bohemian Rhapsody, and particularly We Will Rock You. And again, was designed, like the way Chapel Roan designed Hot to Go, the song We Will Rock You was designed specifically for a live audience so that everybody stands up and stamps on the floor and claps and all of those things. So it is a very, very, very deliberate thing.
Okay.
But it's not an awful song.
No, it's not.
Which is great.
No,
and
it's
We
not.
We Are the Champions, you know, they're good songs, which is something. So, and they've managed to survive this far. So they're not that irritating, but they are earwormy.
This one is not a bad song, but it might be irritating from 1988.
When I come home, oh, I know I'm going to be the man who comes back home to you. And if I go, well, I know I'm going to be the man. And older you, but I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 more just to be a man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
That did really well for the Proclaimers, didn't it?
It did. That was their biggest hit that they've ever had. Not their best song they've ever had, but definitely their biggest hit. But what worked for them on that one as well is something that's worked for numerous artists, is that you dispense with the words completely. And you just do your da-da-da, you know, da-dun-da-da-dun-da. And people love it. People will absolutely love that, because the key to an awful lot of this is something you can sing along with. Again, doesn't have to make any sense, but it's something that's very, very sing-along. And the Proclaimers really, really managed that one.
Okay. Not one of these hold a patch to the ultimate earworm. Obli-da, life goes on. Oh, God, no. Now, let's put that in my head,
yeah,
hasn't it?
That's the idea. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But when you even put it in the title, you know, is that you know what you've got there.
Well, that earworm was considered so good that David Guetta sampled it in 2022. Oh, we're ruined for the day, aren't we?
Louise Duffy has a lot to make up for after 12
really
o'clock
does,
on this.
Especially because I'm going to do this now and play the song that we started with again.
My name is Anna Mooney. I am...
Good luck, everybody, getting that out of your brain for the day. Simon, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Simon Marr there from 8radio.com. Back after this.
Text 51551. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.